La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma rabbu hadhihi da'wata tamma wa salatul qaimata ati Muhammad fadil wa wasil. Alhamdulillah ta'ala nahmiduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون وقال سيدنا مصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أصدق حديث كتاب الله وخير هدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأن الشر أمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد فيقول الله تبارك وتعالى وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعاني فَيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ Brothers and sisters, all praises of course is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we praise Allah, we ask Allah for help, we ask Allah to make us from amongst أَذَّاكَرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَذَاكِرَاتٍ The men and women who remember Allah much. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said that the benefits of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in so many ahadith, it talks about dhikr and dua and the remembrance of Allah. And Allah says, وَلَذِكْرُ akbar, the remembrance of Allah is the greatest thing. And in one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "At-tuhur, shatrul iman, walhamdulillahi tamla'u mizan." He says, purification is half of the faith. And alhamdulillahi tamla'u mizan, it fills the scales. Any mention of Allah's name is a good thing for the believer. Allah says in the Quran, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ He said, those people who remember Allah standing and sitting and laying down on their sides, and they contemplate about the creation of the heavens and the earth, saying, Rabbana, O Lord, ma khalaqta hadha batila. You have not created this in vain. Subhanaka, glory to you. Wa qina adhab an-nar. I've always been fascinated by the dua and just the statement of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The wisdom of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The type of dua that he would make. The way he would call his Lord. Which is no wonder, you know, why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray the way that you see me pray. Why do I emphasize that we learn our prayers? That we learn ad'iya. Learn the different adhkar. Why? One, because we're following Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his words, the way that he prayed, the way that he called on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the times that he called on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how he did it, the phraseology, it wasn't just something that he came up with on his own without any prompting, without any wahi, without any inspiration. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّ يُوحَىٰ. He doesn't speak on his own accord. What he speaks is inspiration inspired to him. So when the Prophet came, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he came with his guidance, he came with a lot of different types of guidance. Guidance on how we eat, how we sleep, how we get married, how we should raise our children, how we should treat our neighbors, how we should treat our parents. But he also came with the guidance of how we should call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have a man here who said out of his own mouth, I know more about Allah and I have more taqwa than any one of you. And all of the scholars of Islam and our theologians, we all, that they all accept the idea that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when it comes to this particular ummah, he has the most knowledge of Allah. He has more piety to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why the Sahaba used to always look at him and say, how was he doing that? How did he pray? What did he say? What did I hear him say? And repeat it. Because what you're doing is you're maximizing your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're using your time, you're maximizing your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, a person can sit all day long and says, well, you know, I pray to Allah, I put my hands up, ya Allah, that's my prayer. And not do the salawat al-khams, not do the five prayers just prescribed. Well, the thing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that he don't accept just anything. He doesn't accept you to do any old thing with regards to him. He accepts the things that he has commanded, the things that he has prescribed, the things he's considered to be good, which is behooves every Muslim to learn dua. And in the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said one of the most beloved dua of the Prophet that he used to say a lot was, Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. O Allah, give us the good of this world and give us the good of the next world and save us from the hellfire. Now, usually after Salat al-Isha in the masjid, we read some hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is what we do in this particular masjid. So the other night, we were reading a hadith from the Kitab al-Da'awat, the book of Da'awat in Riyad al-Salihin by Imam al-Nawawi, which is a very, very good book. And he had the book concerning the dua of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One thing I have always loved about the dua of Rasulullah, I don't know if some of you remember the khutbah we gave one time about the dua that we found that was so beloved when he said, O Allah, inni as'aluka hubbuk wa hubba ma yuhibbuk, that hadith. So this dua that I read, it struck me the same way as that other one. And sometimes you read a dua again and again and again and again, and you read it that one time, and it's like subhanAllah, because it hits you. Because there's so many avenues of the huda of the Prophet ﷺ, has so many gauges to it. Even the ulama, when they used to write down hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, if you read in Sahih Bukhari has 7,280 hadith, depending upon the narration, close to that number. But he repeats a lot of hadith of the Prophet ﷺ in his book. If you read Sahih Bukhari, you see he had this hadith here, he'll have a part of it over here, he'll have a part of it over here. If you look at all the repetitions, it only comes down to about 4,000 and some a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Given that he memorized 100,000 sound hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. But he would take a hadith and he would look at it from one perspective. Say, wow, and show this is a dalil for this and so and so. Then he would take the same hadith, because a hadith will have additional guidance in the hadith. This is the way that the Prophet taught. He taught with guidance flowing from his words. That was his methodology of teaching. He didn't teach in a singular, linear way. He taught in a way where the knowledge flowed from his mouth. So you would look at a hadith, look at something he said, and take one thing from it and say, SubhanAllah, and you'd be astounded by it. Then you look again and you say, SubhanAllah. There's more, there's something I didn't catch. And this is what happened to this particular hadith. And I want to read this hadith to you. Before I say that, I want to mention what Aisha said about the dua of the Prophet ﷺ. In Sahih Bukhari with Muslim, she said, "Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yuhibbu al-jawami' min al-du'a wa yad'u ma siwa dhalik." He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to like comprehensive dua. He liked comprehensive dua, meaning that he liked to call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make a dua in a certain way where those few words that he said, they're comprehensive. Meaning that if Allah just answered that, you'll be good to go. If he just answered, "Atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana," if he answered that, well, alhamdulillah. And she said, he would leave alone anything else besides that. And if you examine the dua, the supplication of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's so many ways, places you can look, so many different books of hadith and different books you can find them. You see that very rarely did it extend beyond a paragraph. Most of the time it was a sentence or two sentences. So I want y'all to check this dua out. And you've heard it before. But we're going to turn it on the other side. Because on one side there's guidance, and then on the other side, what I found, there's a whole different set of guidance. A hadith of Anas ibn Malik. He said, "Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqulu, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasali wal-jubni wal-harami wal-bukhli wa'udhu bika min adhab al-qabri wa'udhu bika min fitnat al-mahya wa mamat." Wa fi riwaya in Sahih Muslim, "wa dal' ad-dayn wa ghalabat ar-rijal." Now check how deep this joint is. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, "Allahumma, oh Allah, inni a'udhu bika, really I seek refuge in you." First of all, in that alone, you see the hikmah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the wisdom of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that he don't go, even though he's the Prophet, he has wahi, inspiration, and he's ma'asum, free from major sin, and he's forgiven ما تقدم وما تأخر, forgiven for the sin he did in the past anything he may possibly do in the future, he's already forgiven for that. Yet, he understands the nature of the self, the nature of the soul, the nature of the individual soul and its possible inclination to evil from time to time, which is why the Prophet, even outside of this hadith, he would say, "Inni a'udhu bika min sharri nafsi." So, oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from the evil of my own self. So what the Prophet understood from the very beginning is that the believer, we have to depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to overcome evil traits. You can't block everything. You can't fight off shaitan like you do in the movies, man, with the crossbow and all that stuff. That's Hollywood. Fighting them in the street. No, it's not like that. Innahu huwa wa qabiluhu yarawnakum min haythu la tarawnahum. He and his tribe see you from a vantage point where you can't see them. That's not how you fight off Iblis. That's not how you fight him off. You fight him off by holding path to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and using weaponry. Dua is one of the strongest weapons that people have against Iblis. Is dua. Look how the Prophet used this. He says, "Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from al-ajaz, helplessness, wal-kasal, laziness, wal-jubun, cowardice, wal-haram, feeble-mindedness, wal-bukhl, stinginess, wa'audhu bika min adhab al-qabri, and I seek refuge in you from the punishment of the grave. And I seek refuge in you from the fitna of al-mahya wa mamat, of life and death." Now, what's so deep about this particular hadith? And then in another narration in Sahih Muslim, he added, "I seek refuge in you from dhal ad-dain." And that was deep, because that means the burden of debt. Subhanallah, who ain't in debt? وَغَلَبَتْ الرِّجَالِ, and the tyranny of men. Here's how steep the Prophet was. I started to say slick, but I'm not going to even... He's above that. This is how wise Rasulullah is. Check out this dua. Because all these things that he's seeking refuge in, except for about the fitna of the mahya wa mamat, they're human traits. They're human deficiencies that we have, that we may have, that some of us may have more than others, that impede our progress as believers, as human beings. How many people don't realize their potential as a servant of God because of helplessness? I'm helpless. This is talking about empowerment, spiritual empowerment. The Prophet said in another hadith, he says, "Al-mu'min al-qawi khayrun wa ahabba ilallahi wal-mu'min al-da'if." A strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than a weak believer. You can see how helplessness is something we seek refuge in Allah from it, but we only seek refuge in Allah from things that harm and things that are evil. So if we know that the Prophet ﷺ went as far as to seek refuge in Allah from these things, then these are definitely something that I need to be working against in my own life. Not to be helpless, but to be empowered. That's why it's important that a Muslim not become dependent, not become drug dependent, psychologically dependent, physically dependent. so that they're helpless. Look what helplessness gets us. So if we look at the hadith on the other side, these traits, not only we seek refuge in Allah from having these traits, but we also recognize that these are traits that I have to work against. So that your struggle as a Muslim, it becomes multi-tiered. Right? What's the next thing he says? Wal kasal, laziness. Laziness. That's deep. Laziness. So laziness has to be viewed as a potential enemy to my faith. Lazy, no, no. If your kids are lazy, no, no, we're not going to allow that laziness. No, no, no. You want to be industrious, not lazy. You want to look down upon laziness. You want to do things that are going to help stop you from being lazy. You want to discourage laziness in your family, in yourself, with your children. Take out the garbage, Muhammad. No, 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 no. How many times do our children, especially the children, get away with stuff, not because they're unable, because they're lazy, and then they start to think that they're unable, which is how the first one connects to the second one. Helplessness is connected to laziness. Because people become so lazy about things, especially deen things, spiritual things. Building a masjid, having schools, teaching your children about the religion, basic stuff, learning the religion yourself. You become so lazy that you're helpless. Because you start off with laziness and you end up thinking, I'm helpless. I can't. That's what people always say. I can't. We can't do. We can't do. It won't work. We can't do it. Where the deen is the opposite of that. And then look at the next trait, which the next trait is connected to the first two. Look how much wisdom the Prophet had. Alayhi salatu wa salam. SubhanAllah. Look at the level of thinking. Because the next trait that he sought refuge from was jubn, which is cowardice, which is connected to laziness, which is connected to helplessness. Because what happens is at first you start being lazy, and you're so lazy you feel helpless because you haven't tried. Now you're afraid to try. Now you become a coward. I see that happening in us. Start off, I don't want to do it. Not that you can't do it, but you're too lazy to do it. You don't want to get up from the television. You don't want to give up from what you're doing. You don't want to get in the car. I just want to chill. What do they say? Chillax. I'm just chilling. So you're chilling so much that through the laziness, you start to get a feeling of helplessness because you haven't tried. You don't want to try. You become helpless. Then you become afraid to try. That's why the Prophet said, I seek refuge in you from al-ajzi wal-kasal wal-jubn. And then after that he said, wal-haram. Feeble-mindedness. Feeble-mindedness occur in people from different sources. One of the main sources. Old age is a source. You can become so old. What they call it, Alzheimer's disease. But let me tell you something. The companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the close companions of the Prophet, Abu Bakr, Umar, Ali, Uthman, Ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abi Huraira, Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Ibn Abbas lived to be over 100. And they used to live to be old men. But what you didn't hear about them in their old age was feeble-mindedness. You wouldn't hear about them losing their mind as an old age. You know what? Because they weren't lazy, because they weren't afraid, and they weren't helpless when it came to the deen. Mu'adh ibn Jabal went upon Yemen just by the command of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I want you to go to Yemen and give da'wah. He said, إِنَّكَ تَأْتِي قَوْمًا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ فَعَلِمْهُمْ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا أَطَاعُوكَ فِي ذَلِكَ فَعَلِمْهُمْ أَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ خَمْسُ صَلَوَاتِ فِي يَوْمِهِمْ وَلَيْلَتِهِمْ. I mean, he went on that level. The Prophet said, listen, you're going to run into people from the Ahl al-Kitab when you go to Yemen. Teach them this. There's no God except Allah. And Muhammad is a messenger of Allah. Now he could have said, you know my camel, I just got her. I don't want to put her through that. He could have said stuff. He could have said lazy stuff. He could have said helpless stuff. He could have said, Ya Rasulullah, I don't. But he said, come on with it. He said, if they accept that, teach them upon them our five prayers in their day and night. And the other thing that they would do is remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me tell y'all a secret. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical professional, but I've been consulting the doctor. Dr. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he came with the cure for what ails human beings. I believe that. And when you maintain activity in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being active spiritually, I've only been on this planet for a short period of time. I've seen people die in their old age. One of my shuyukh is on his deathbed. He's been on his death for a while now. But when I call him, Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah, mashallah, alhamdulillah. Yes, subhanallah. Yes, wa la ilaha illallah. That's his conversation. He's in his 70s. Because when you have that mind to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to talk about Allah, then your brain continues to remain alive. Because when you respond to Allah and respond to the messenger, that gives the spirit life. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu istajibu lillahi wa lirrasuli idha da'akum lima yuhyikum wa'alamu anna allaha yuhulu bayna al-mar'i wa qalbih wa annahu ilayhi tuhsharun. He says, all you who believe, respond to the call of Allah and to the call of His messenger when they invite you to that which gives you life. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِ. And know that Allah goes between a person and his own heart, and know that you should return to Him. So look at this dua. I seek refuge in you from helplessness, from laziness, from cowardice, from feeble-mindedness. And then he said, وَالْبُخْل, stinginess. See, it all goes together. It all goes together. Who wants to be a lazy, cowardly, helpless, stingy, feeble-minded Muslim? Who wants that? You want to be opposite of that. He's an energetic, intrepid, active, present of mind, generous Muslim. It's a difference. Why would the prophet seek refuge in Allah from that? That's going a long way. So he mentioned wal-bukhl. And then after that, he said, wa'udhu bika min adhab al-qabr. Look how the prophet links all this. I'm just saying, you make the dua, ya Allah, I seek refuge in you from this and that, and that, and that, and that, and that. And even if we just did that, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. We learned the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But you could turn that dua on its side, and it's a whole different world of the, looking at the things that he sought refuge from. Because it all goes together. He sought refuge in Allah from helplessness and laziness and cowardice and feeble-mindedness and stinginess. Where do all those traits play out? Because people stingy, people feeble-minded, in the dunya, we placate all that. Oh, he just Mahmoud, he don't feel like being like a Muslim today. Don't make them make a salat. Don't make them my girls wear hijab. They don't feel like it. Then that's why the kids start thinking, I can't wear hijab. Then they go into, I'm afraid to wear hijab. If your daughters are afraid to wear hijab in the United States of America, where people ain't afraid to get sex changes at age 10, and you tell me your kids is afraid to wear hijab? And they're distributing condoms in the fourth grade? So we do disservice to our children. That's why the prophet sought refuge in these things. You don't want your child to be lazy. You don't want them to feel helpless about their faith. Helpless. This is a free country. One of the best places to practice Islam because of the freedom. I'm afraid of being Muslim. No, you brought the fear on yourself many times because you were lazy, and your laziness led to your helplessness. So now you're afraid, and you're so afraid, you're feeble-minded because you don't really have any direction, and now you're stingy. So you're just like this. The prophet sought refuge in that, but where does that all play out, brothers and sisters? It plays out in the grave. It plays out in the grave. Because if we get away with it here, we face it in the grave. So the prophet said, wa'udhu bika min adhab al-qabri. And I seek refuge in you from the punishment of the grave. But the prophet is merciful, and so was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he added to that, from the fitna of life and death. Because that's the fitna of life. One thing about it, this religion, if you want it to work for you, you got to work it. But if you work it, it works for you. I guarantee you. When you live it, then you really get the benefit from it. But you can't be afraid of approaching it. You can't be afraid on taking on things to endure your religion. If it's even making up with your mother or father or someone in your family that you have broken off with, don't be afraid. Don't be helpless, because it all goes together. Laziness, then you start thinking you're helpless. Then you become afraid. So brothers and sisters, this is a good dua to know. But if you read it, and then on the other side of it, we don't have any more time, but on the other side of it, at the end, in another narration in Sahih Muslim, he said, I seek refuge in you from the burden of debt. Our country could have made that dua. From the burden of debt. People are burdened by debt so much today that we accept the condition. We even go for it. We even pride ourselves which is deep how Iblis works with this interest. That's a whole different khutbah together. He deep. He's doing this program. But we pride ourselves as to how much ability we have to run up debt. That's why people so are proud of their credit scores. I got more ability to run up debt than you. I mean, it's just a training. It's just a conditioning. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب واستغفروا إنه هو غفور. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Brothers and sisters, my advice to us all to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says, O you believe, اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تَقَاتِهِ وَلَا تُمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ يَصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل وإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون يذكر الله عظيما يذكركم ولا ذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيم الصلاة يرحمكم الله. Yeah, just put it up. Just close it so it goes on.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله
صلى الله عليه وسلم
حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استقيموا يرحمكم وثابكم الله وصور صفوفكم. Brothers, make sure your lines are straight and connected, inshallah ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ولولا أن كتب الله عليهم الجلاء لعذبهم في الدنيا ولهم في الآخرة عذاب النار ذلك بأنهم شاقوا الله ورسوله ومن يشاك الله فإن الله شديد العقاب ما قطعتم من لينة أو تركتموها قائمة على أصولها فبإذن الله وليخزي الفاسقين وما أفاء الله على رسوله منهم وما أوجفتم عليه من خيل ولا ركاب ولكن الله يسلط رسله على من يشاء والله على كل شيء قدير ما أفاء الله على رسوله من أهل القرى فلله وللرسول ولذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل كي لا يكون دولة كي لا يكون دولة بين الأغنياء منكم وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوا وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا واتقوا الله إن الله شديد العقاب. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. القارعة ما القارعة وما أدراك ما القارعة يوم يكون الناس كالفراش المبثوث وتكون الجبال كالإهن المنفوش فأما من ثقلت موازينه فهو في عيشة راضية وأما من خفت موازينه فأمه هاوية وما أدراك ما هي نار حامية. الله أكبر. سبحان الله العظيم سبحان الله العظيم سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Brothers, I just want to make a couple quick announcements, inshallah.